You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Yes, hello, welcome along to the William Hill Boxing Podcast with Steve Bunce. My name is Mark Walton. I'm joined on the line by Big Daddy Bunce himself. How are you, Buncey?
Well, I'm not quite sure how I am. I mean, we have weeks where 70,000 tickets sell out in 52 minutes, where we have weekends where we have the fight, potential fight of the decade. We have world title fights left, right and centre. Unbeaten guys fighting people. I mean, it's just about incredible. I mean, basically, in the last, on Saturday night and in the last 5 or 6 days, we've had a base at any month from the 60s, 70s, 80s or 90s. It's a ridiculous business at the moment.
In a very good way, though. I mean, we've got...
in a great way.
Yeah, yeah. We've got a huge weekend coming up. Arguably two of the best pound-for-pound fighters in the world, taking each other on in the shape of GGG against Canelo over in Vegas. More on that later on. We'll come on to that bout right at the very end of the podcast, and it is absolutely huge. Can't wait to hear your thoughts on that, Bunty. But before we do, just a little bit of news to tidy up beforehand. We should really talk about the announcement that Joshua is going to face Pulev. He's already sold 70,000 tickets for the fight at the Cardiff Principality Stadium. Apparently it's the fastest selling event ever at the stadium as well. It's going to be huge. A lot of people saying, is AJ quite ready yet? Pulev's only defeat coming against Vladimir Klitschko. What do you make of the whole scenario, Bunty?
Well, I think it's a hard fight. When it was announced on or late last week, and the press conference, I think, was Monday of this week, when it was announced, I've got to tell you, I had a bit of a problem with it, and I still have a bit of a problem with it, because if AJ's head is somewhere else, bear in mind, he was meant to be having a rematch of Vladimir Klitschko, which was going to make him an awful lot of money, more than that, he fancied winning and winning in style. So he's fighting a guy who, on the surface, doesn't appear to offer that much, because as you pointed out there, he got beat. He lost to Vladimir Klitschko already, but that was Vladimir Klitschko's finest performance in over 50 fights. I think Pulev brings a lot of danger. He's only a little bit shorter. He's about the same weight, give or take a few pounds. He's got a good chin and he can really whack. But more than that, he's got fantastic amateur pedigree, medals in major tournaments, went to the Olympics, European Championships, World Championships. And if AJ has maybe switched off a little bit in his head. AJ denied this when I talked to him on Monday in Cardiff. But if he has, this becomes a really, really hard fight. And I think it's a technical fight. Pulev's not going to make any mistakes. Not going to try and go out there and blow out Joshua. He's going to look at a few rounds, because let's get it right. Against Klitschko, Joshua had a bit of a crisis in some of those middle rounds. He was absolutely... His tank was absolutely empty. Got a second win, a miraculous second win. It was a brilliant performance, but it was a hard performance and one that left him drained physically and mentally. And he will need to be at his very best, and I'm convinced of this, to beat Pulev. Listen, he may go out and blow Pulev out in two rounds and people will say, oh, Bunty, you were talking rubbish. No, I am telling you, unless AJ is absolutely smashing bang on the night, this is a hard, hard, grueling fight. And that's what Pulev wants, and that's how Pulev can pull off a great big shot. If you've got a fancy AJ, of course you have, but I can make a very serious case for in several ways, Pulev upsetting everything. Great rematch, though.
Yes. When I first saw it announced, I kind of disregarded it a little bit, thinking, they'll smash Pulev to pieces. And the betting's kind of similar. He's 1-25 to win the fight, is Joshua. But then when you look into it more, you do realise that it's not the walkover that perhaps it looks at first, kind of thing.
Absolutely. And, you know, and listen, Pulev had a fight with Klitschko. That was his mistake. He made Klitschko put in the performance of his career before getting taken out of an incredible punch. Okay, that was a Klitschko an awful long time ago. Very different Klitschko to the one that Anthony Joshua. Anthony Joshua got the Klitschko that had been outboxed for 12 rounds by Tyson Fury. Pulev got a Klitschko who had been untouchable for a decade. And I'm telling you, this is a tricky and hard fight. A good Joshua beats Pulev. An okay Joshua struggles, and I really mean that. And it's nothing to do with, he hasn't gone backwards, of course he hasn't, but there's something about the fight after great fight. And there's a history in boxing of guys who have won incredible fights having a stinker next time round. Now, whether it's because they can't get up for it or whether it's because they left a little bit in the ring on the night of their great victory, I don't know. But it's an interesting fight. And doesn't need me to sell it. It's sold out in 50-odd minutes. That's the bottom line. He's gone. You can't get a ticket for love or money.
Yeah. We could talk more about that on the build-up to the fight. That's on the 28th of October. But let's concentrate on matters a little close to home. We've got a real interesting weekend of boxing coming up domestically and internationally, of course. And we're going to start at the Echo Arena in Liverpool. Callum Smith taking on Eric Skoglund in the World Boxing Super Series, Super Middleweight opener. And Callum Smith is quite a heavy favourite here. He's 20-1 on in the betting. The draw is 33-1 and Skoglund is 8-1. Two unbeaten guys, but with the home crowned and the little bit of class perhaps that Callum Smith possesses, is he right in the market there at 1-20?
I think it's I think it's a tighter fight than that, a harder fight than that, because there's something about unbeaten guys. You don't know what they're going to do. That's why they're unbeaten. They've generally been a little bit protected. Both Skoglund and Smith are guilty of having had some easy fights. Six of one and half a dozen of another. You can make a case for both of them having had single quote tougher fights. I think it's a real test for the pair of them. I do. Luckily, Callum Smith's not a baby. Even though he's 22 fights unbeaten now, he's 27 years of age, so he's a man. He's a man that narrowly missed out on a place in London 2012. I think this is a much harder fight than those odds suggest. I wouldn't be at all surprised if Smith finally gets to him in the last four or five rounds, but I'd be amazed if it's a walkover. I'm going for Smith, and I'm going for him with some kind of late stoppage, but having to come through a very, very hard fight.
Okay. Well, we've got a few markers we can mention there then. We've got grouped rounds, of course. Smith in rounds 10 to 12 is 6-1. Him in rounds 7 to 9 is 7-2. Would you be looking at those kind of rounds?
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm... That's 7-2. I like the look of that. The 7-9. 7-9 at 7-2.
Okay. Smith. So Smith to finally get to him then, but it might be a little bit of hard work in the earlier rounds then.
Well, listen, it needs to be hard work because you can't have a guy like Smith, 22 fights unbeaten, who really has had an easy run, going against a guy who's 26 unbeaten, who's had a fairly easy run, and then one of them walking over the other, because it makes a mockery of matchmaking. It makes a mockery of what we try and call sport.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, you can't, you know, it's like a team going unbeaten in a season 26-0, and then suddenly playing a team from the division above where they should have been playing all along and getting smashed to bits. It's not sport. You know, if Smith walks through Skoglund in four or five rounds, and bear in mind he doesn't walk through good fighters, he beats them on points or stops them late, then it shows that this business we're in is a business first and a sport second. And that's not good for anybody, because Eric Skoglund is 26-0. Now, a 26-0 fighter should be able to handle himself. If he gets blown away, it makes a mockery of the way we do our business in boxing.
Yeah, so hopefully it's something entertaining to watch, and
absolutely,
also for the integrity of the sport as well.
Absolutely, I'm being deadly serious. Absolutely is, yeah. Yeah. You think about someone like Anthony Joshua at the Olympics. He has three decisions that are really hard. Two of the decisions, people think he should have lost them. He doesn't stop anybody at Olympics. He turns pro, he raises his hand, people are falling over. He's knocking them over with his armpit, literally. Now, you go figure. At the Olympics, he struggles. He's brilliant. Five great fights. Wins an Olympic gold medal. Doesn't stop anybody. He turns pro, gets in the ring, they play his anthem, and the fat geezer in the other corner falls over. Come on. You know, it's true, isn't it?
Yeah,
yeah. Guys, oh, it's okay, they'll get harder. Yeah, sure. Anyway, move on.
let's move on. Let's go to the Copper Box Arena in London next then.
Oh, yeah.
for Billy Joe Saunders against Willie Monroe Jr. Billy Joe Saunders is 130 on in the betting. The draw 25-1, and Willie Monroe Jr. is 13-5. This is for the WBO middleweight title, which Billy Joe Saunders currently possesses. He's been absent since December, though, Bunty. He's been talking about his frustrations not fighting. He's been described by Dominic Ingle, his new trainer, as being fat and unfit when he came to camp. That's in quotes,
by the way.
That's
kind. That's kind. He was more than fat and unfit. He was a disgrace. He admits it.
Yeah. So how's he going to be coming into this fight? Well, are you expecting him to blow the cobwebs away in style and then try and set up a big fight that he wants after this? Or what are you expecting from him on Saturday night?
What we're going to see from Billy Joe Saunders is his best performance. He's unbeaten. He's not a baby anymore. He seems to be 21 forever. We're going to see the best performance from Billy Joe Saunders. Dominic Ingle shapes him into a different fighter, not just physically, but also inside his head. Billy Joe Saunders, not only was he fat and unfit, he wanted to quit. Called up Frank Warren, his promoter, said, "Frank, I don't want to fight anymore. I don't need to fight anymore. I don't want to fight anymore. So for them, if it was a period there, not sure how long it was, whether it was 2 minutes in the conversation on the phone or whether it was a couple of weeks, he basically had quit. And what he's done up in Sheffield, surrounded by Dominic Ingalls fighters, guys like Kell Brook and guys like Kid Galahad, is he's rediscovered his love for boxing. It's what Billy told me the other day. And that's a danger for William Munro. William Munro needed an unmotivated and confused and fat Billy Joe Saunders. He's not going to find that. And we're going to see a great performance from Billy Joe Saunders. He's going to win comfortably on points, or he might even get to Munro in the last five or six rounds. But I think really we're just going to see a vintage performance with him winning really brilliantly on points, and he might even break Munro's heart. My gut feeling is points, but the last three or four rounds is also a half decent side bet.
All right, well, I'm just trying to see what the price was for the fight to go the distance. Our trader's very much expecting that by the looks of things. It's 2-5 just to go the distance, this fight. So that makes it...
So the money's in Billy getting a bit angry and trying to stop him. But Billy's not going to take risks. Billy's a boxer. You know, he's a sensible boxer. He might tweet some unsavoury things and he might say some unsavoury things. But in the ring, he's a boxer.
Yeah.
He doesn't fight like he tweets.
Okay. Billy Joe Saunders on points, by the way, is 4-6, if I could tempt you with that. And we do have an enhanced odds market here as well. Either fighter to win round 7-12. That was 7-2. That's been enhanced to 9-2. If it is a bit of a slog, do you think either of them get to each other in the closing rounds? You got both fighters?
No, I don't think Munro gets to Billy. No. I think Billy gets to Munro, yeah.
Okay.
But it's a good fight. You know, he's a perfectly acceptable opponent here for Billy Joe. Billy Joe, by the way, wants to fight again. He wants to keep busy. He realises that an active fight is a busy fight, and that guy's got less chance of drifting.
Mm. Billy Joe Saunders by KO, TKO, DQ, by the way, for anybody who's interested in that side of things, if he does get to him late, is 3-1. But Bunty thinking it will go pretty long, if nothing else, and possibly Billy Joe on points then. Just on the back of that, he's spoken about he wants the winner of GGG or Canelo on the back of this fight. Do you see that something like that happening if he goes out there and wins on points?
Well, if he were to stop Munro, he increases his chances because Golovkin's already stopped Munro, so that's one. That would be one way. If he does boxes a masterclass, that's another way. And if he keeps insulting Golovkin and Canelo Alvarez, that's another way. However, there are a couple of more lucrative offers on the table for the winner of Golovkin and Alvarez. Bigger names, and I mean that in the nicest possible way. Bigger names, and I would classify them as even easier money. Now, that's what fighters like. They like wins that look good. And in the history books, and wins that look good in the bank book. And Billy Joe Saunders is a problem for both of those categories. So I'd like to think Billy gets a shot, but I'm going to be realistic and say he doesn't.
OK, let's move on to the big one then. Let's move on to that fight, the T-Mobile Arena over in Las Vegas. GGG, Gennady Golovkin against Canelo Saul Alvarez. Golovkin is 4-6. The draw is 22-1. Alvarez is 5-4 in the market. Two middleweight world titles on the line here. Two of the very best as well in their division go head-to-head. People have said that if anybody was unhappy with the whole money fight that happened, this is the antidote. This is boxing at its best. Two of the best in the business going against each other. It looks pretty damn good on Saturday night over in Vegas, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's win-win-win, to be honest with you. It's a lot's been made of this whole sort of salvation of boxing. Well, boxing doesn't need saving, but boxing could always do with a super fight. And this is simply a super fight, a fight that we instantly started talking about it being a potential fight of the decade. A fight where no one's really bothered about what belts are on display. No one really knows for sure how many belts are on display. In fact, there's as many as four belts on display, but only three of them in theory for Alvarez. However, there's another belt being attached to it. The WBC have made a sort of half Kazakh and half Mexican flag belt, which is a separate belt from the WBC's middleweight title belt. Yeah, it is confusing, trust me. So no one really knows. And then there's the Ring Magazine belt. You might find Alvarez. So you might find Golovkin walking into the ring carrying as many as five belts and various fat officials from the sanctioning bodies entering the ring carrying as many as two or three more. The winner, in theory, could leave about eight. No, I assure you. I mean, this is ball lunacy. You know, people keep talking about, hey, wouldn't it be great to win a strap? No, it means absolutely nothing. Let's get it right. I'll give you a quick stat here, if I can. This is a staggering stat. This is the staggering stat of the decade, okay? Like the fight, this is the stat of the decade. Since Golovkin won his version of the world middleweight title in 2010, 26 men have been able to walk into their local pub and say, I'm the middleweight world champion with a belt. Now, that is absolute comedy, isn't it?
Yeah.
Is that comedy?
That's ridiculous.
That is absolutely madness. Well, that's how boxing works. So when we talk about what belts are coming into the ring, really, who cares? In The Independent, where I've been writing now for about 20 years, I stopped mentioning the name of the sanctioning body unless they'd made a belt out of alligator skin or had encrusted it with, you know, $10 million worth of diamonds. I don't mention them. It's just belts because that it's just gone. It's out of all proportion. It bears no relationship. This fight, thankfully, isn't about the belts, and no one really knows what they're making, whereas in the Mayweather fight, everyone knew what they were making. That was the story of the fight. This is about two fighters who, at some point, tactics aside, will just have to do what they do, and that is fight, and that's what makes this a potential fight of the decade.
Who wins the fight, though, Bunty? That's the question.
Well, I'm surrounded by people I really trust, three or four people that I listen to. It might be the only three or four people that I listen to, being as I'm getting a bit cantankerous and a little bit cynical and a little bit aggressive the older I get. But I've got to tell you, all four or five of them are lined up against me. I fancy Alvarez, and these people who I've known and trusted sometimes for 40 years, they all fancy Golovkin, although they are starting to waver slightly, one or two of them, the last few days. I'm not. I fancied Alvarez from when the fight was announced in the ring a few months ago when Alvarez beat a man called Chavez. Golovkin came in the ring, they announced the fight, shook hands. I fancied Alvarez then, and I still fancy Alvarez. I think he'll try and make it a technical boxing festival. Brilliant skills and artistry, but at some point he'll have to fight. And hopefully for him, that will be once Golovkin's lost just a little bit of power. Golovkin, last time out, people say he struggled against Daniel Jacobs. He didn't struggle. He just didn't look as impressive against Jacobs as he'd looked in his previous 32 fights. He's unbeaten 33. 19 consecutive world title fights. 18 of those he won by stoppage. I just have a feeling that Alvarez might be a little bit sharper, a little bit faster. And I just have a feeling that Alvarez can adapt slightly. I think he's been in slightly harder fights. He's certainly had some tough fights. He was losing to Amir Khan last year before finding the punch to knock Khan's spark out. I just fancy Alvarez. I fancy it on points. But I think it'll be an incredible fight. Yeah, I think it'll be a great fight. So I'm going Alvarez points.
Okay, Alvarez on points is 15-8 in the betting there. He's only lost once in his 51 fight career as well, and that was against Floyd Mayweather. So it's not bad CB coming into the fight. A lot of his made on the other side of things about how hard GGG can hit for a middleweight. There's been studies with ESPN saying that he hits the equivalent of a man 15 pounds heavier than him or two weights above himself. He punches 10 times more on average than other middleweights. It all looks pretty dangerous, but you think Alvarez can deal with that?
Oh, I think he can deal with it, yeah. I mean, I think, you know, it would be foolish to imagine he won't get hurt or hit at some point. I just think he can deal with it. And I just think that tactically, he can deal with it. I think he'll take away one or two of Golovkin's advantages, and that is that he has no fear. He knows he has the talent and the courage to back up his bravery. Lots of guys go in feeling quite brave against Golovkin and they get broken down quite quickly. I think he hits hard enough to make Golovkin a little bit careful, a little bit mindful. I think it's a terrific fight. And, hey, listen, it's not by any stretch of anybody's imagination a walkover. I just fancy Alvarez over the distance.
Yeah, Canelo is 5-4, by the way, just to win the fight. He's 15-8 to win on points. Just another question. You say you think he's going to win on points, so that's fair enough. But can he knock Golovkin out? Because he's never been knocked out in his career. He doesn't look like he's been in danger of it all that often recently, as well.
No, not at all. He's been a bit sloppy sometimes when he knows he can't lose. He absolutely can. Certainly, if Golovkin has to chase it and make some mistakes, certainly he can, yeah. I mean, those last couple of rounds are very interesting. I mean, we've got something possibly special, really special, in Vegas this weekend. I mean, it's going to be a good fight anyway. I mean, even if it's not great, it's going to be a good fight, if you know what I mean. Yeah. Even if it's not the the classic we imagine, it's still a great event and it'll be interesting. But I just have a feeling this will not let us down. This is one of those fights that there's not going to be a clash of style here or any problem. Or suddenly we're going to realise one of them is an old man and he can't fight it this way. Everything here is tick, tick, tick. I think this is going to deliver. In fact, I know it's going to deliver. Great fight.
Yeah, really looking forward to it. Thank you very much, Bunty. Been a pleasure speaking to you once again. Good luck and enjoy it all on Saturday night.
Thanks very much. Speak to you soon.
ACCA 5 is William Hill's new ACCA insurance. It means if you have a 5 selection accumulator and one lets you down, you'll get your money back as a free bet. And it's available across all sports. ACCA 5, exclusive to William Hill. T's and C's apply.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.